Very good. And Brother Darcy, please.
Most gracious and loving, kind Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name, and blessed be the name of thy dear Son, our Lord and Master. Father, we come to thee at this time to thank thee for thy continuance with us, that thou hast brought us thus far, and that thou will continue to be with us. And we pray now thy special blessing upon Brother Ron as he ministers to us of thy word. And be with each heart and mind that is bowed here before thee, that we might receive the message that thou hast intended, and that we can benefit and grow thereby. We pray thy blessing then upon our continued fellowship and study and testimony together this day. We ask that thou will be with and direct thy Israel the world over in these troublous times. And we pray and ask always according to thy will in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, brethren, we chose this hymn because of the reference to part of what we're going to be talking about, of course. And blessed is the man is what we're calling this service. We liked that phrase. It's found several places. Although we're not going to chase that phrase, we are going to talk about this blessed condition. So to say we are blessed is an understatement. And especially since there seems to be so many that are more blessed than us, more talented or whatever, our focus is during this hour is going to be on the expression blessed as applied to all those having a conversation with God and a life of consecration and an endeavored lifetime to be sanctified in Christ, that is, set apart from the worldly spirit every moment. Our looking into the scriptures will touch on some of the blessed occurrences from the Old Testament, then into the New Testament with some finer detail. So in the Old Testament, we'll get right to it, there are about three different Hebrew words translated blessed in the King James Version. And here we're mostly going to focus on this word Esher, which I give you the Strong's reference number of H835, which is in simplistic terms means happy. But happy from what or by what means is the question. Indeed, this kind of happy is by means of the honor from the Lord. Another Hebrew word that you'll see in your concordances would be blessed, barakah, reference number H1293 in Professor Strong's dictionary, having prosperity in its origins. We acknowledge that there is this prosperity aspect, but it's separate from the other, and we'll not be focusing in this direction. But an example of its use, a familiar example, is in this Genesis account. You remember it, Genesis 12, 1 and 2. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a Barakah, a blessing, a prosperity. So we may see that blessings of the prosperity type in spiritual things acts as a catalyst for us to extend our blessings of that happy effect upon us. The third Hebrew word that we're just going to mention is Barak, Hebrew reference 1288, which means literally to kneel for blessing God, or conversely, to benefit if God is sending the blessing to us. An example of Barak is found in the familiar text of Psalm 34, verse 3. I will bless or reverence, symbolically kneel before the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Because our first example, Esher, has the thought of happy, and its evident link to a specific Greek word, which we'll cover later, we are limiting our discussion in the Old Testament to just this one word, but we're not going to have time to cover all the occurrences of it. So we will simply cover a few. So let's take them up. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed, happy, honored of God is the man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We may conclude of the verity of this thought, of the man that comports his life to the reverential, the godly among mankind, would find delight in God's love, in receiving it and emulating it, taking it as the subject of his quiet thoughts and constant meditations, the love and the wisdom from above. Mankind is under the bondage of sin and death. Every gravestone tells that story. Every weakness of character, every flaw in his constitution proves it. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. To be free of this life burden, free to have good thoughts of others, free to do things that always are pleasing to God, certain of our everlasting future, surrounded by our loving hearts, wouldn't that make a person so honored, happy? Yes. Blessed, happy, honored by God is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed or happy is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So when we rightly look about our lives and consider all in the light of God's word, we begin to find things to be thankful for. As we continue to hone in on things to be thankful for, we find the number growing in our awareness. When we see these things, our love for the Father also increases with our gratitude, and as well our trust in his wise provisions for our spiritual growth also become enlarged, and thus so as our happiness. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy is the man that trusteth in him. Our walk with the Lord has meant the former reasoning no longer makes much sense. We are under the better restraints of pleasing God rather than ourselves, and investing in our hearts rather than our temporal things, our bank accounts of earthly worth. Disappointments are the former, with the attendant worries and fears. The things for our good and the certainty of his truth indeed builds our character, our faith, from experiences of his working out all things. And contrast that with the world who live in the shadow of Satan's horrific masterpiece, the lie. Lies about everything, and the twisted effects toward that selfish brand called pride. No more, no longer. Instead, happy we now are. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed, Happy is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. What else would make the new creature happy? How about dwelling with God and Him dwelling in us? Would this change what we think about moment by moment? Will these higher thoughts shine light into our hearts and make glad the gloom of all that came before? Indeed, blessed, happy are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Psalm 84, 4 through 6. And verse 5 hints that going through life in our own strength is a great recipe for sorrow and disappointment. Without touching the new creature's heart for which the trials of life are intended. So if we read verse 5 and 6 together, blessed or happy is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. The sorrows are still there, but not as other sorrows, other sorrow without hope, and who try and try over and over again to go there by their own strength, but with the strength of the Lord, with the exceeding great and very precious promises. Our tears are accentuated with the help of the Lord, proof to our hearts that His will is best for us to trust in. Have we had tears of joy on the battlefield of life? Have we seen the help of the Lord working grace in our hearts? Are we happy? For it is morning when the valley of Baca of tears will be a remembrancer, a thing of the past. And are we happy because of partaking of the sin offering for the world? And the rain of the mediatorial waters will also be added for the purpose of blessing too. Happy is the man whose strength is in thee, O Lord. The blessings of the Lord maketh us rich over and over again. We have found it incredible that this invitation and entering into this consecrated way only cost us our human wills and our few years left of life, all the while drawing us closer and closer to the Lord. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed, happy is the man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. If we have come to understand the gospel, understanding the jubilee announcing the Lord's return would and should bring us happiness. It's such a grand message for the whole world. These truths give us purpose, purpose to our end of the age walk, like an invisible figure is instructing us on the road to Emmaus. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed, happy is the people that know that joyful sound, that jubilee. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Another happifying blessing is when we see that the Lord is chastening us, as we read about the law of love, convicting us to a better, for us to be better become love. Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed, happy is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. And despite the seemingly desperate attacks upon the faithful, attacks of temptation to draw us away, perhaps, the walk we walk in this life is sound, for it is Jesus' way, the walk of love and in love, and always greater than the adversary's delicacies. Psalm 119, verse 1, blessed, happy are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And finally, the happy blessing is all about our walk. You know, a walk in Scripture's usage means all that goes into a day, all the blessings, all the grace, Sorry. All the blessings, all the grace, all the adversaries, contraries, strikes, all our duties, our assignments, our encounters, our conversation are part of our walk. And we find our footing in the obedience to God, willing sacrificers, following out of reverence for God. Our steps are the ones that God would have us to walk. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. So as we move into an examination of the New Testament, in the word blessed there, we remind you that we will focus on one Greek word in our discussion, as it seems to be the equivalent of the Hebrew word isher, happy, as we read in Psalm 32, 1 and 2, blessed, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man, happy, whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit is no guile, of which the Apostle Paul quotes in Romans 4, 7 and 8, saying, blessed, fortunate, happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed, happy is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. So there he is quoting the psalm. So we have our link of which Greek word goes to which Hebrew word. In the New Testament, we find these Greek words for our English word blessed as follows. Makarios, G number is the Strong's Greek dictionary reference, G3107, which means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, happy. It occurs 50 times in the New Testament. Then there's Makarizo, 3106, which means to pronounce fortunate, and it's only occurs twice. Then there's eulogio, eulogio, trying to get that right, 2127, speak well of, and it occurs 44 times in the New Testament. Elogitos, 2128, adorable. And you find eight times. I'm not going to read the reference, but Ephesians 1:3 would be an example of that word blessed. And elogio is 1757, to confer a benefit on. And that only occurs twice, Luke 1:48 and James 5:11. So those are the various five blessed Greek words. And again, when we're going to focus on just one, and that's the equivalent word that you'll find in the Beatitudes. And you know, when we looked at this, we couldn't recall what Beatitudes where that came from, because it's not in the scriptures, but it really is comes to us by way of the Latin. Beatus, B-E-A-T-U-S, meaning blessed in Latin. So we may just as appropriately call these the blesseds, because that's what Beatitudes means. And know that these are defining true happiness arising from the Lord, and the Lord reciprocating with increased honor. So I'm going to go through these. We've probably read reprints articles on this, but we wanted to really emphasize why we are happy or blessed in this way, in this fashion. So starting with verse 3, blessed, happy, honored by God are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why are the poor in spirit happy? The easy answer is simply to quote the rest of the verse, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But Is this why they are poor in spirit? Or are they first found to be poor in spirit already, and the kingdom of heaven held out to encourage them for their already poor in spirit condition? So what is it to be poor in spirit? It means to be destitute, in need of things spiritual, not about earthly poverty, but thirsting after the water of truth and the heavenly manna, the word of God. These know their lack and turn to God for help in their pitiful condition, which, by the way, is our condition. Another way of describing the poor in spirit is that these are the humble ones before God, ready to obey, to see the prospect set out by God of a kingdom of blessing. Only by having the humble spirit, or when alone, but now enriched by grace, will these happy saints inherit the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed, fortunate, happy, honored of God, are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Lord designed the development of the bride class, of the little flock class, to be made ready for that eternity by the trials and difficulties now. We learn by seeing the requirements and our need of help, despite our best intentions. It is not as though we may think the victory won by our good showing, because the battle is the Lord's, and for it he has equipped us with remarkable promises. Words of life and favor are ours, but we also have an advocate go with us to plead our mournful failures and cover our many deficits every single time. We have found that the flesh profits us nothing. It is the new heart, the new creature, which is comforted. Thus only do we find ourselves blessed, honored by God, and therefore happy. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The humble see their need and feel it too. But the solution is to take our minds, our hearts to the Lord, to be taught of God. Seeing our imperfections, seeing our little failures, and having a certain sadness that it is so, are mitigated in the meek heart because of the help sought and given every day from the Word of God and the Lord's creating circumstances to exercise the learning and comporting to many made happy by the honor of the Lord thus bestowed. Verse 6, blessed, happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This great need to be taught of God becomes more specific, more vital, more desired and necessary as we see this as an insatiable hunger and thirst which must be daily filled. Blessed, happy are they who so hunger and are filled, who so thirst, and whose spiritual refreshing is thus supplied. Verse 7, blessed, happy to be thus honored by God, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It rings true that we learn mercy by the exercise of God's mercy towards us. That God's mercy is reasonable, too, is illustrated in the account of the then-coming destruction of the extremely sinful Sodom and Gomorrah recounted in Genesis 18. Recall the questions. If there be 50, wilt thou also destroy the whole city, if there and spare not the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? And then the next question, 45, and then 40, 30, 20, 10. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Lord is merciful, and our mercy must be genuine too, from the heart, Matthew 18:35. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How can sinners be pure in heart? Only by faith in God and faith in his provisions, most acceptably faith in the merit of Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. Only by faith that Jesus will make up for our best efforts that always seem to fall short, and trusting with our whole heart that we are thus counted pure by God may we be counted pure in heart, in intentions. Thus boldly we live in the declaration, I am trusting myself before God as acceptable through Christ. Our constancy of effort will prove it to be so in God's estimation, and He will continue to open our eyes to His plans and purposes, to understand Him. Oh, how blessed, how happy we are. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Without coming to a knowledge of the truth, it would be difficult to find peace within. But with the truth as our fuel, the prospects before us and the change upon our hearts, He's done upon our hearts and actions every day, our little light would do little to demonstrate this peace of God that surpasses human understanding. But with the Lord's guidance, with His help along the way, and through His word of truth, we may separate in our hearts and distinguish between sinners and sin, forgiving the former and abhorring and blaming the latter. It is a blessing most happifying to have this honor of knowing the peace of God. And blessed are they, verse 10, which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 11. Standing for the truth is standing for all the righteous blood since Cain slew Abel. At the present time, our righteous conversation of life, our ambassadorship, our witness that we are walking as did Jesus, will bring on the hatred of the fallen world and bring on the minions of our wily foe upon us. Yet we are happy to be counted as sufferers with Him who bought us with His own precious blood. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The blesseds of the new creation are indeed wonderfully uplifting. Remember Psalm 46. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. Yes, let's look at it again with a little note of reference. There is a river of salvation, of truth, the streams, even now, whereof shall make glad, happy, for the honor of God's grace. The city of God, the New Jerusalem, the church, even now, the holy place, the sanctuary class of the tabernacles, the dwelling of the Most High. Our Lord returns to this blessed descriptor in His revelation as well. So let's now take a look at six texts from Revelations. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The purpose of the Lord giving us this revelation is to read it and keep those things written with the caveat that the time is at hand. No doubt an encouragement to run with zeal with heavenly purpose. Those that do read and keep with zeal affecting will be thus blessed, made happy, for the honor of having the Lord thus pour grace upon us. Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. There is a peculiar blessing that makes happy those that are dead, which die in the Lord from henceforth. Recall it? We are dead to self-will and alive as new creatures. The realization that we are in the time when we shall not all sleep, but changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Well, let's read about this blessing this peculiar blessing to now from the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on corruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. How wonderful is this to our hearts now. At the crossroads of all humankind, we have the blessed assurance of life, more abundant in the moment of death, rather than a suspended sleep. Revelation 16:15, Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and that keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. This is another marker prophecy, whose beginning is now in our present, or now in our past. Those in the present, it's now in the past. For we believe our returned Lord has come as a thief in the night, and the happy blessing has come by watching the scriptures and the times and seasons, while looking to our characters, patiently waiting, faithful, trusting, hoping, praying, and all the facets of love in our moment-by-moment walk, keeping the garment of salvation in Jesus, unsoiled, unspotted, trusting in Jesus' merit, moment by precious moment. What a time to consider our blessed honor to be called of God and led by His Holy Spirit. Revelation 19, verse 9. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Here's an interesting scripture that seems to be future from now. It tells of this happiness to have the honor of invitation into the marriage feast following the wedding, following then the glorification of the bride. It is the happiness thus coming to the hearts of the great company, the virgin companions. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Another future happiness blessing is having part in the first resurrection, future for us, and released from death forever, while reigning with Christ 1,000 years. How could we not be thus blessed, thus happy, thus considered honored by God? The last Revelation text concerning our blessed and happifying honor is this one, Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy, of the prophecy of this book. Of course, this is a reminder to not just read Revelations, not just see the prophecies and how they all fit together, but to keep the sayings that will determine our everlasting happiness and that blessed blessing of having thus been forever honored, forever happy, and forever a bearer of his love. Then there are what I call the in-between texts. So we're going to look at 9 passages of the New Testament, all of them in between the Beatitudes and the revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we just went through. So it's true that before consecration, we would not have been invested in taking our eyes only towards the lovely, the kind, the wholesome, the innocent, modest, the things of God. No wonder, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. However, the separating, sanctifying, setting apart to holy thoughts, purposeful meditations, the things of Christ and of God, are exactly where the heart must be to have this blessed condition of happiness, of gladness in the light of God's honor upon us. So let's take a look. Matthew 13:16. But blessed, fortunate, made glad, honored by God are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Think about this. Imagine not knowing of the studies in the scriptures, the reprints, and all those helps for understanding the Bible truth. Where would be our blessing, our happiness? Where would be our fellowship? Where would we focus our standards on? What opinions would overtake us and lead us astray? Frantic would we be to find a stable place and a sure foundation without God's grace in Christ pouring out understanding of where our eyes may receive such a blessing and opening them in proportion to the humble integrity of our hearts. Luke 10:23. And he turned unto him his disciples and said privately, Blessed, happy are the eyes which see the things that ye see. Keeping our eyes focused on holy things of God and whatever we do, avoiding educating ourselves ahead of God by reading novels or reading news that squarely runs counter to the doings of God's will, is to walk one foot in darkness. We must be wary of the adversary's tactics of pulling hard on our flesh, our weak immune system, we might say, spiritual immune system, that seems to run idle curiosity and speculative justifications to keeping up with the current events so we know where we are on the stream of time. No, no. Remember to daily be sanctified, holy, for we are in the presence of God who called us with a heavenly calling. These things pull hard against our consecration to be dead to self-will. John 20:29. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We did not see him as yet, and yet we believe. Us here gathered today have not seen him. So, but by the eye of faith. So let's keep the faith and walk with great gladness, for our eyes have been opened. The blessed or happy condition relating to the watchers at the second advent of our Lord is again prophesied in Luke 12:37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and shall make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Notice the analogy of how the eyes are used, of which results in the blessed condition. The watchers are searching the scriptures. That's where their eyes are. Okay, the scriptures relate a wonderful result of faithful looking to the Lord. And this is about Jesus' mother, Mary. Our quote begins with the words of Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. This is Luke 1:45-55. And blessed, well off, happy, fortunate, supremely blessed, is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, esteemed fortunate, counted as happy. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud with the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel with in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Two questions we may ask ourselves. Was Elizabeth correct in identifying Mary as blessed, well off, happy, supremely blessed? And was humble Mary correct in her prophetic assessment regarding how future generations would say she was esteemed, fortunate, counted happy? I think you'll agree with me. The answers are yes and yes indeed. And we may be sure that Mary was what we might say ecstatic, that her low estate prevented not the Lord in bringing great things to her, and put down the proud and blessed the hungry soul with good things. Years later, the Apostle Paul admonishes to support the weak and live by Jesus' instruction, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And what a blessing lesson this is. When we consecrated, we gave not only our will, but all our worldly goods too. Some we became stewards of, and some were forever gone. When we find an opportunity to give to another, it is not our wealth we give, but the Lord's, which he entrusted us with, doing good to all men as we have opportunity. It is a blessed and happifying experience to bring a little piece of salvation to another. In Romans, the apostle gives us this, Romans 4, verse 7 and 8. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We might think of this as more fully realized after our resurrection. But the intent is to remind us of the effects of the divine assurance already upon the new creature. Are we not largely taken or escaped out of darkness by the knowledge of our humble assessment of an inherent iniquities and sins covered, no longer imputed to us as we trust in the efficacious blood of Christ? Oh, the happiness this has brought and still brings to us. What a blessing of grace to have been graced with this most precious truth. With this knowledge and knowing it comes from God to the humble, true child of God, for no others would so greatly appreciate the need and the free gift of salvation, we have a desire, a purpose much bigger than life, a view of God's love and its expanse into justice and into the quarrying of any vestiges of stone left in our hearts from our inherited weaknesses. And now emulating this love of God moment by moment. Oh, the purposes of God's love. The Apostle James, known generally for his emphasis on deeds, on performing all this new creature learning, and not just sitting by and waiting. The trials come because the darkness hateth the light, and blessed, happy, fortunate, for the Lord's honoring with us, with his holy disposition. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Yes, the deeds of love. James writes on regarding keeping ourselves in check, a reality that comes by looking in the mirror, looking for how we are not yet conformed to Jesus' example, to actual perfection. We must work to see in our humbleness of mind and heart that we have the liberty of love to do. James 1:22-25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And of course, that perfect law of liberty, we know, is the law of love. So, brethren, to summarize, there are reasons for our happiness, the blessed condition. Let's show it. This is what we just said. We found these in the scriptures. We are blessed, happy, because the Lord has brought us to the truth. Happy to have been personally touched in heart by God. We have examined how this blessing comes to us at the hands of God. Happy that our thoughts are on God's law of love every day and moment by moment. Happy because our transgressions forgiven and sins covered. Blessed, happy that we have a clearer understanding of the Lord's goodness so we can trust him, that we are dwelling in his house, have our strength in him. Happy that he chose us, that our ears are enabled to hear the joyful sound, walk in his light, chastened and taught to live love, which is his law, counts us undefiled. Happy to know him that we might reverence him, and to walk in his way. Happy to be both poor and rich, knowing the great difference. Happy our humble hearts are comforted, that our will to do his will brings us back to help the hearts of mankind. Happy to be filled with his righteousness, that our generous spirit will inherit generosity, that our eyes are opening to God, that we are God's children, and willing to let the flesh suffer for it, to keep the saying of Jesus' revelation, to help keep our garments given to us, to have a part in the first resurrection, to be accounted part of the blesser seed. Our eyes have been blessed, blessed to know that giving is the point. Glad to know already we are blessed in the deeds of love. In conclusion, brethren, these blessed descriptions of our hearts, dear brethren, are promises. In reality, they are promises. Every promise of God, every grace he's bestowed, is a nutrient to the heavenly diet necessary for our growing into the fullness of Christ. Blessed is the man, happy the man, whom the Lord has counted able to be a light of such blessings. Jeremiah 17:7-10. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. The blessed man, as is also thankful man, appropriate in this week coming of this country remembering Thanksgiving. So, brethren, may these words find their way from the Lord to your blessed hearts moment by moment. And may there be forgiveness if the wrong words were used or better could have been spoken. Grace from God to your hearts, dearly beloved. Amen.